Grace, mercy, and God's peace be yours in the name of our coming King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week when we met for worship, we began the penitential season of Advent in which we, the people of God, devote some time and attention to preparing our hearts to receive the King. And as we do, we note that his coming is not one of glory and triumph and judgment. No, he comes in humility and weakness. He comes as a servant. Therefore, twice in last week's message, I mentioned that this season of Advent is all about Christ coming to us and how we respond to that. But that's only the start. You see, Advent is also a time for self-examination. Yet the fallen sinful nature, being what it is, leads us to do this kind of self-examination only in a superficial and haphazard way. If you are totally honest with yourself, no matter how hard you try, it's painful to be honest with yourself. We don't like it. Yet to get the full effect to properly receive our King, we want to make sure that the job of preparation gets done the right way. Now, as a child, like many of you, I walked soybeans for my family to make sure that the weeds did not overcome the crop and to make sure that the fields were as clean as possible. It was getting late one summer, and the weeds were rather tall, and the beans were rather tall and tangled. And to be honest, we probably should not have been out there. But my dad so badly wanted to get rid of that patch of weeds just north of our house in the waterhole. And so that evening, it was muddy, and I didn't get one to get my tennis shoes dirty. So for some reason, I went into the field with sandals on. As you can imagine, the result was not good. As I raised my hoe to chop one of those big late summer weeds, that's when it happened. I missed that weed, and I hit my right foot with the hoe. It began to gush blood. My dad had to carry me out of the field. My mom washed out the wound, and when it finally stopped bleeding that night, we thought it was all better. Well, 2 days later, I bumped that cut when I got out of bed in the morning, and it gushed again. It broke open with blood and pus coming out. The cut was definitely infected, and it needed more care. My parents took me to Tuscola to the emergency room where a family doctor happened to be on call. Now, let me tell you a little bit about my doctor. He was originally a military doctor, and he acted like it. I think he learned his bedside manner from a school that specialized in training attack dogs. Well, he looked at my foot with a sneer, that kind of sneer that says, "I've suffered worse cutting my face while shaving." But he grabbed a brush and grabbed my foot and started scrubbing with what seemed like enough force to remove every bit of flesh all the way down to the bone. Did I mention that it hurt? One thing was for sure, when he was done, that wound was clean. Absolutely clean. No germ could have possibly survived that assault. Now, as tough as it is to say, that is the kind of help that we need to help us in our self-examination to prepare for the Lord's coming. Someone who is more concerned with getting the job done right rather than about the pain and the discomfort that it might cause us along the way. And for this very purpose, the Lord gave us John the Baptist. He's the one sent to prepare us properly for the Lord's coming. Where we would dab a little at our dirty souls with a damp sponge, John lets us have it with a fire hose filled with hydrogen peroxide. Where we would prefer to use a candle to search out the darkness of our hearts, John lights us up as if he was using a flamethrower. His mission is to shake us out of our spiritual lethargy. He means to leave no stone unturned in his pursuit of moral imperfections and spiritual uncleanliness in your life. When he points the finger at us and calls us a brood of vipers, that is, children of the devil, it ought to make you tremble. You should feel the warm draft of hellfire from below and realize that you are teetering on the brink of damnation. But wait, someone will say, John's not talking to me. No, I'm already repentant. I've been baptized. I confess my sins many times since. John's message is directed at those hardened sinners out there, those people who refuse to repent. Interestingly, that's not what today's gospel lesson says. It says that John was speaking to those who came to him in repentance and came out to be baptized by him. In other words, he's talking to each of us. He's talking to you. We want to imagine, since that we are already believers in Christ, that we're standing on his side over and against those sinners out there. And so when we hear worse specifics of God's law laid out, instead of using these questions to scrutinize ourselves, we think, oh, I sure hope that so-and-so is listening to this. Or it's too bad that what's-her-name's not in church today. But that's just a tactic that we use to avoid looking more closely at the messes under our own beds. Of course, there are other ways to dodge John's verbal assault. A favorite method, especially when an accusation of sin hits a little bit close to home, is the one used by King Herod. That is to punish the messenger in an effort to silence him. John understood that not telling the truth to Herod would be the same as saying that if you're rich enough or powerful enough, or if you do a lot of work in the church, then your sins can be overlooked. At first, Herod tried to ignore John, but he was much too loud and popular with the people. So under pressure, Herod had him put in prison. I think in his heart, Herod knew that John was right to point out his sin, but he had a reputation to think about. Ironically, it was in order to protect his reputation for keeping a promise that later led Herod to silence John for good, thus adding murder to his list of offenses. The trouble is, John cannot be silenced so simply. I suspect that Herod discovered that in the wee hours of many sleepless nights. John's voice, really God's voice through him, continued to accuse him. And it accuses us. It comes through preachers and teachers of the word. It comes through your devotional Bible reading. It comes through your own conscience. And I can't say it more clearly than this. If it does not fill you with fear of God's wrath and punishment, then you are not listening to what it is saying. And that is the point. John calls us to repent, to change from being what we are deep down in our very core, that is, sinners. He calls us to make changes. We are always to strive for personal holiness. But we need to be really careful here. Isn't it interesting that there were people in the crowd who thought that John might be the Christ? On account of his preaching, they felt the wrath of God. They repented, and they resolved to live better lives. Who knows, maybe they even kept some of their resolutions. And having made improvement in their lives, they wondered what more Christ could possibly even do for them. And believe it or not, a lot of Christians today make the same mistake. They think that faith is all about learning to live a better life, and in doing so, they effectively turn from the gospel of Jesus to the preaching of John. But John is not the Savior. His job is to prepare for the coming of Christ. It's not enough to talk about becoming holy. The point of the proclamation of God's law is to get us to the point that we cry out with St. Paul, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" He does this precisely because it is then that he can point out the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The one, he says, who will baptize us in the Spirit and with fire. Indeed, Jesus is the one who was baptized for us with the Spirit in the Jordan River, and who was baptized later for us with fire of God's wrath when he surrendered himself upon the cross in the grave. God sent John to prepare you to receive the one. He came to prepare you for Christ's coming. So with this in mind, my question for you this morning to consider is this. What is John saying to you right now? If he were here this morning, what would he say that you should do to prepare yourself for Christ's coming? Would he say no more games, no more excuses? Would he tell you it's time to step up to the plate yourself? Would he say it's time to repent and believe the good news? What would he say? I'm betting you already know what he would say to you, don't you? It is my Advent prayer that having revealed your sin, our gracious Father will bring us to true repentance so that we will, with joy and thanksgiving, receive the King who comes to cleanse and forgive us. And that he will raise us up with him to new and holy lives, lives of service to him. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.